Welcome to Let's Talk ETFs. I'm your host, Jason Kapoor, and I've been monitoring the investment space throughout my entire career. Here at Seeking Alpha, I'm an ETF strategist, and my role is to uncover and bring forward news and information to the investor community that is meaningful and actionable. Each week, a different guest and I will take an in-depth look at a particular aspect of the rapidly evolving exchange-traded fund space, with a focus on how investors can best utilize ETFs to reach their investment goals. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes only. Nothing said here should be taken as investment advice. All opinions expressed on this show are those of individuals expressing them alone. A full set of disclosures will be included at the end of this show. You can subscribe to Let's Talk ETFs on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whichever podcast platforms you prefer.
For reference purposes, this podcast is being recorded on the morning of June 29th, 2021. In today's episode, we have a special guest joining us from Robo Global, Lisa Chai. Lisa is a senior research analyst at Robo Global. She has been with the organization for 3.5 years, where she has done some great work in the innovation and technological revolution space. Lisa is an expert in the robotics and AI markets, where she is both knowledgeable and passionate. Furthermore, prior to joining Robo Global, Lisa spent time with Strategic Advisor, Samsung Next, Palisade Capital Management, as well as other prominent organizations. We're very excited to have Lisa join us today to have an open discussion around our topic of robotics, artificial intelligence, innovation, and how the technology space is evolving the ETF marketplace. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest today, Lisa Chai.
Hi, thank you. Great to be here.
Excellent. How's everything going for you today?
Great. Everything's great. Thank you.
Awesome. So Lisa, I'm excited obviously to dive into this podcast with you, but before we do, we would love to see if it's possible if you can give our listeners just a little bit more information or perhaps a better introduction to the background to not only yourself, but Robo Global, ultimately allow our listeners to get a better understanding of who we're speaking with today.
Great. Sure. I'm a senior research analyst at Robo Global. I have almost 20 years of experience on the investment side, both on the private and public equity world. I have, you know, always been passionate about investing in the stock market since high school. So it has been a real dream job to be working at Robo Global. I have covered the technology sector, healthcare, and consumer industries during those 20 years. Today, I don't categorize myself as a technology analyst. I cover anything that is really innovation related. So I think it's really fascinating to see a world today of technology, healthcare, consumer, industrial markets that are just converging. So I think you're going to be increasingly hard to find that dedicated analyst that covers retail or autos or healthcare sector in the future. So as a senior member of the research team here at Robo Global, I get to learn about gene editing technology and how robotic arms work with finger grippers and encased in some special polymer casing that is filled with artificial intelligence. I get to play with drones and learn about how drones are made. I meet with founders and leaders of very innovative companies that are powering this industrial and healthcare revolution and leveraging AI and robotics. So I work with some of the best robotic and AI experts in the field today, as they are our strategic advisors. There's a strong collaboration of the advisors and investment professionals that I find to be very unique and different from my other jobs I've had. We have these technology experts in-house, and we're really combining the expertise around AI and robotics to the field of the ETF world. While I am a finance professional by trade, I do have a degree in computer programming and finance, and I work and I dig a lot real deep into the field of innovation. So whether it's industrial manufacturing or the healthcare sector. So it's a really fun job. At the same time, at the end of the day, Robo Global, we are an investment advisory firm. We have three index strategies with ETFs tracking these indexes trading at the New York Stock Exchange. So it's been a really great journey, and I'm really great to be here.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you are on the cutting edge of what's coming up next in the innovation world, and you're on that forefront seat. So that's exciting to learn about. And we're obviously going to dive into those indexes and ETFs today. But before we do that, I wanted to kind of get your take on what you feel the future holds for robotics and innovation, artificial intelligence. You know, technological advancements happen on a day-to-day basis, but what are the current hot points in the space, and what do you see some of the future trends that may be a little further out on the horizon that investors might want to look to analyze or research more about? You know, I guess you could say I'm asking is, what does that 3 to 5 year timeframe look like in the future?
Yeah, currently we're seeing massive advancements in deep learning capabilities. I think you probably heard, you know, 10, 20 years ago, artificial intelligence and machine learning, we're really getting some of the early advancements that we are seeing in deep learning. We're seeing significant progress in autonomous technologies to virtual assistants and smart home devices that can help us with everything from cleaning to monitoring safety. We're definitely at a tipping point with the consumer devices. We have about 100,000 smart home devices that work with smart devices like Alexa, for example, which is about 10 times more than it was possible 3 years ago. You're seeing lots of advancements in conversational AI, chatbots using natural language processing that has seen tremendous progress. And the accuracy level in translating your voice in different languages is very high. So obviously, it's obviously the cheap compute power that's powering up all these technical innovations that was just not possible before, or it was too costly. We're seeing autonomous technologies really advancing in the industrial markets, like driverless forklifts and fully autonomous robots and drones in the warehouse. We had robots in the past, but they were not really fully autonomous. You still needed a technician to kind of move robots around and program it very heavily. Deep learning capabilities allowing these robots and drones to basically move around without any human intervention. And that's a very major progress right there in warehouse industries. Also, the robotic arms have gripper technologies embedded with advanced AI. It helps to pack groceries, even as delicate items like raspberries and peaches to sort packages in a warehouse. So we're seeing this new era in the world of agriculture as well, where a farmer is getting like real-time insights from their fields for irrigation and fertilization management. I think those are some of the hot spots that we're seeing right now, where we're seeing tremendous progress. I think in the future, we should see some improvements around augmented reality technologies, having that real immersive reality experience that can really help in that healthcare setting or remote work setting. I met a doctor last year who taught medical students on how to perform open heart surgery on a live patient using AR headsets. When I hear stories like that, I get very excited about the use cases that we have using augmented reality and virtual reality headsets. As companies get more digitized, we think the advancement and use cases associated with immersive technologies like AR will just continue. I think it would have been really nice to have that technology in the work setting last year, right? During the pandemic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The technology is really not ready right now for prime time, but we are seeing definite progress. I'm also excited about gene therapies. Imagine a world where we can get personalized therapy that was created just for us using our own unique DNA analysis. Wearable devices in the healthcare sector is also going to be very exciting. Patients and doctors, as you know, they want convenience, anything that's less invasive. In the future, we believe that AI-enabled automation and some type of disease pattern detection, 3D bioprinting, think of implants for our bodies that's enabling our bodies to regenerate cells and organs with the help of regenerative medicine solutions will be game changing. So we have found that developing or manufacturing some of these drug therapies is not an easy task. We believe that AI and robotic solutions will help the manufacturing landscape for the biotech industries. We're in very early days of cell manufacturing, but we are seeing tremendous progress today in how AI could help sort of the workflow of drug discovery and the manufacturing of cells.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost becoming much more of an integrated part of day-to-day life. I think that you know, I guess a few years back, or, you know, you'd almost look at AI and innovation as the cutting edge, where now it still is the cutting edge and what's next, but it's also now integrated with day-to-day activities, as you mentioned earlier, with IoT devices in people's homes. And it's now becoming, it's almost evolved itself where it's so integrated with day-to-day activities, you borderline don't even realize it anymore. Like you mentioned with voice technology and how synchronous it has become versus, I remember, you know, the first phones when you're speaking into it and you're like, can't understand me. And, you know, so that's great to know that we're kind of making that leap and jump.
And I'm sure you've seen that. You've seen the progress. Now you get that customer service person that you really need to talk to right away. It figured out who you are by you typing in your social security number before, or saying, you know, your birthday before they couldn't understand you. So now the natural language processing technology has evolved so much that it could even understand the accent that you have from different countries and different provinces.
That's great.
So that's tremendous progress. I think we've seen in the last 3 years, but I think that we know it, but we just haven't talked about it. Right.
Yeah. So Robo Global as an organization, you obviously bring market participants exposure to the robotics innovation AI space. And I understand that you guys model your ETFs around different indices that you kind of bring forward. And I was hoping that you can maybe explain, I believe you have three of them. I believe it's Robo, R-O-B-O, H-Tech, and THNQ. And I was hoping if you could kind of just give us a rough outline of what those indexes are all about.
Definitely. We were the first to market in the space of robotics, launching our flagship ROBO index in 2013. The Robo Fund, ROBO, consists of companies that are enablers and developers of robotics and automation. We look for companies that are technology and market leaders. We look for high revenue purity. So all three strategies, Robo, H-Tech, and Think, the technology and market leadership, these factors are very important to us. Our intention with these indices is to provide exposure to the most promising and best-in-class companies from around the world, no matter their size and geography. So we try to give a really good, fair, and representation to these smaller and mid-cap companies as well. We believe that that's where you can see tremendous amount of growth and a lot of technology innovation. Also, we've seen quite a few M&A activities coming from those companies as well. So for Robo Strategy, for example, RBO, there are about 80 companies with a median market cap about $7 billion. So a good majority of those companies are in the small cap and mid cap world. Fund is very global, with just less than half the companies based in the U.S., so we capture the companies that are, you know, key players in the manufacturing sector and logistics automation, all the way to the agricultural sector, companies that are enabling the business process automation. So it is a very diversified exposure like the other two strategies. What all the three strategies have in common, though, is that these companies are at the forefront of providing cutting-edge solutions to the businesses and consumers all around the world using some type of advanced AI and robotic or automation solutions. The overlap between the three strategies is also pretty limited. So you're looking at around 10 to 15% type of overlap between the strategies. So it's not about matter of, we'll just, you know, invest in one strategy and you'll capture all the robotic and innovation. We don't look at it that way. We think that with our research-driven process, you're looking at these three strategies that are quite different. RBO has a very big tilt to the industrial manufacturing world. It has 11 subsectors, and one of the subsectors was computer processing. And that was one of our biggest weighting and had a very strong performance. So we decided to kind of dig a bit deeper and figure out why we're doing so well. And we realized that artificial intelligence was really kind of moving into providing a lot of strong use cases. So we spun that out into a separate strategy, and that's how THNQ came about. And THNQ has a very big exposure to some of the technology-oriented companies, as AI at the end of the day is a software algorithm. So we're really focused on how our business is using AI today. How is it being deployed? who is developing the hardware that are powering up the AI applications. So the AI index is really a pure play AI strategy that tracks about 70 companies with biggest exposure to AI. So RLBO has a very large industrial manufacturing tilt with robotics and automation. THNQ has a very big exposure in capturing all the AI companies in that AI ecosystem. So that's sort of how we look at those two strategies. And of course, the healthcare strategy is a very different, unique strategy in that it doesn't have the traditional biopharma, biotech exposure. It has more of the healthcare technology exposure. And this is sort of the same thing where we found healthcare vertical within the subsector from ROBL, the flagship fund, was one of our best performing subsectors. And we found that many of the global leaders and category leaders had real cutting edge technologies disrupting the healthcare industry. So we spun this out into a pure play healthcare tech strategy. So it provides a global exposure to companies leading the health tech revolution across diagnostics, robotics, genomics, and precision medicine, to name a few. And we can talk a little bit more about HTEC later on, but like the Robo and Think, HTEC is diversified with global representation. It's broken out into various subsectors that we believe represent the innovation that's happening today within the healthcare industry.
Excellent. Yeah. And I think the way you just ended it was going to lead me into my next question, that it's so granular in nature. I was going to say, for the average investor who might be listening and says, where do we see robo ETFs, fit into my portfolio, for example, do you think it's really fit for everybody? For example, say an investor who might just say, I have a strong technology presence in, QQQ or the Spider or the, the XLK, do you see this in conjunction, or is this kind of almost a separate, almost thematic niche in its own way that may be overlooked and underplayed? People might say, yeah, I have tech exposure, but do you really have, that next frontier exposure, which is, yes, you fall within technology, but in a way it's its own world?
Yeah, it's definitely it definitely should be categorized under that thematic world and also growth. We get a lot of questions regarding, is this a growth strategy? What are you looking for? We designed our index portfolio to provide investors with exposure to all these sort of best-in-class companies from the world. And we have a very bullish view on robotics, AI, and healthcare tech. So you could still have your QQQ strategy, but if you want a little bit more growth, want a little bit more concentration around the robotics and artificial intelligence theme, these are some of the good strategies to take a look at. We think, though, at the same time, it's still early in the adoption cycle of AI to invest in one or two companies and say, okay, I got all my AI companies figured out. We think that, the better way probably is to kind of find a strategy like the Robo Global ETFs, where it's pre-diversified. We rebalance every quarter with an idea that we take a very long-term view. And we're providing the exposure, but at the same time, we understand that investors may not want to take all the risk of investing in very highly volatile companies. So we have found that we have a wide variety of investors. Some of our investors use us funds for different parts of their equity allocation. We have a very strong loyal retail base who believes in what we do with our active research component of our methodology. They're pretty sophisticated. They ask very thoughtful questions. They understand what AI is. And they say, we looked at some of the AI companies and we want the pure play strategy. We have financial advisors using satellite position in our funds, combined with their core position in the beta type of ETFs on US or global equities. We have investors that want that global exposure. So we think that it really is a good strategy for investors to use our funds as a complement or replacement for global equities allocation or any type of growth equities allocation. But definitely the Robo, Think, and HTEC funds has a high, concentration of growth companies. It's designed to track and capture some of these most innovative disruption that we're seeing today.
Excellent. And I like how you mentioned that you guys rebalance on a quarterly basis. So it's, you're almost always getting the freshest of fresh organizations that are really driving the space to give you that ultimate exposure versus, like you mentioned before, you know, the run of the mill names that people might just think, you know, attach themselves to AI or robotics and so forth.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that was very important to us. And I think that we're not an actively managed fund. We're actively researched, but passively managed, and that we just rebalance 4 times a year. But we have a very rigorous process in how we score our companies with some of the factors that we look for. And these scores are very dynamic. And we update these scores based on company meetings and industry expert meetings and trade shows and analyst days and conferences. And these scores, at the end of the quarter, we compile them and we have investment committee decisions on whether these companies get excluded or maybe they get added at a higher position level during the rebalance. So it's a very, I think, kind of a unique process in that while we're passively managed, we have these active scores that are pretty dynamic. So we're very thoughtful in all the three strategies. We didn't just use AI to come up with some companies and then just rebalance once a year. We actually make sure that these companies are leaders and they continue to be leaders.
Excellent. And I guess maybe playing a little bit of devil's advocate with you, you know, from a technological space as a whole, which robotics, AI, and so forth would kind of fall under, you know, it has the stigma to have, you know, high valuations and possibly not proven track records in terms of profit earnings from a company to company standpoint. What would you say to a investor who's listening to, you know, maybe they have in their mindset, the Fed's going to be raising rates a little sooner than later. You know, how is this going to affect these types of ETFs as well as other innovation funds that are out there? And is this the right time to get involved?
Rising rates, it does present some risks for these long duration assets, such as ultra high growth equities, and particularly for those with no near-term earnings and a promise of strong future earnings. However, the vast majority of companies we invest in already have strong proven business models and generate positive cash flows. RoboThink and HTech portfolios, most of the companies have net cash positions. In fact, for artificial intelligence index, the Think, THNQ, about close to 70% of the companies have net cash. So we were very diligent in that process. We think that the ROBO, the robo portfolio that has an industrial manufacturing tilt, it has relatively high exposure to economically sensitive stocks. The companies in factory automation in particular, they benefit when rates go up because economic activity is accelerating. And they have demonstrated strong pricing power and the ability to pass on the rising cost to customers. So you're seeing these three strategies where there is kind of a balanced approach here, where robo probably benefit in this type of market environment. While Think has some of the higher growth technology oriented companies that have high valuations, because they have that strong net cash positions, it really does help out. And it's got 70 companies in the index. So it's very diversified. Not one company has more than 2% kind of weighting. So you're seeing a very diversified exposure. So we take a long view on our approach and these company selection within the respective areas that we focus on. So we think that the technological revolution that we're witnessing today will go through many innings. And we're really at the tip of the iceberg on the adoption technology and innovation in healthcare. And I think it's very important that we have to be patient and have these long-term view on these trends. We're talking about acceleration of e-commerce, artificial intelligence deployment, every sector that we touch. These are kind of major type of mega trends that you're talking about. And while near term, we may see some volatility and pullback in the shares and valuation, keep in mind that majority of the companies have pretty relatively reasonable valuations and they have very strong cash flows. They have established market positions. That's one of the very big factors that we look for is the technology leadership and market leadership. They have to be number one or number two market leader. And they are going to be able to navigate any type of environment relatively well because of that market share position. And they have that technology leadership as well. For the Think Index, because of that higher volatility, we also look for companies that invested heavily in artificial intelligence and then have some type of path to show either profitability or some revenue growth, because we have found that some of the investments that they're having around acquisitions around AI or hiring data scientists, it does, they're a good future indicator of the revenue growth performance. So these are three kind of balanced approach portfolios, and they will, react differently based on different type of environment. So it's really hard to pick one or the other. It's really based on the three themes that we talked about.
Absolutely. And I like that you mentioned that all three funds have a wide variety of stocks that make up the fund, that they're upwards of 70 plus funds, and no one's really has more of, I think everyone you mentioned has a weighting under 2%. So you're not getting any sort of kind of quote unquote top heavy fund where you have two or three funds that are, or two or three organizations that are carrying the entire ETF. So when you're investing in one of these types of ETFs, you really are getting, the actual exposure at, from more of a research standpoint than in, not to say from a return on investment that you're not getting a return on investment, but it's a proactive approach that we're going, in that, exactly. that mindset versus, a wrapped ETF that has a handful of fancy names at the top that carry the fund with, an expense ratio. So I like that approach that you really are kind of that thought leader in that space.
No, thank you. That's exactly. We try to differentiate ourselves by communicating to our investors that our top 10 holdings of all three strategies are no more than 20% of the entire portfolio. And we think that's very important to us, not to have that concentration. Especially important in this type of environment where we're seeing a lot heavy volatility. Robo ROBO, for example, because we capture the entire value chain of robotics and automation, that's where we're seeing that balance of companies where they're enablers and developers around that value chain. And that's why they have such large kind of global exposure. And the takeaway is that you would see that we're very diversified. Majority of the companies in the small and mid-cap market cap and has a very global representation.
Excellent. And I guess shifting gears a little bit to a little bit more of a broader general standpoint type question, I wanted to run past you. What do you think the biggest, biggest opportunity and the biggest threat the innovation, robotics, AI space is facing, from an industry standard point of view?
We think, investors underestimate the potential of AI and robotics to deliver revenue streams and drive tremendous cost savings to organizations. I think that right now we think of AI as how is it helping us with manual tasks? It could actually do a lot more. We're talking to businesses where in this many type of environment, some of the technology architecture had to be reinvented. So you're seeing lots of spending around data center and cloud, and you really need that in order for AI to work to that full potential. So in order for AI to be widely adopted, it has to go through various adoption hurdles. Enterprises need to create and use AI tools and applications. That's as easy as downloading an update to software. And the other adoption hurdles probably that you've probably read a lot about is the shortage of AI and robotic talent. It takes a lot of time and resources to build AI capabilities in-house and to develop applications and to build your own data centers to host that. So today we have cloud hosting providers that's hosting your data centers for you. And they also sometimes provide AI tools. We have companies that are standalone companies that build AI tools and applications that are embedded into the system. This type of capability probably took 10 years out of AI adoption hurdles. So we're seeing this tremendous move of companies that are building AI API tools for developers, companies are building switches to host, the cloud activities and data centers. All these type of technologies that you're seeing is really helping the AI adoption to accelerate. And I think that's also sort of the biggest opportunity and also a threat at the same time.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And I think we're kind of getting a little bit towards the end of today's podcast. And what I kind of wanted to leave for you is give you the opportunity to have a little bit of the last word, mention anything that you would like. I know we covered a lot today, but if there's anything that you'd like to kind of leave our listeners with, and also information on where we could find RoboGlobal online, be it through social media, other forms of connection, as well as learn more information about yourself.
Yes. I think just the kind of a last thought is to just, we have this long view that we take in the adoption of AI and applications, and we're seeing this tremendous progress. And while we're in the early innings, we are finding many companies are having board level discussions on how to use AI and how to leverage AI in order to grow their revenues. Used to be just a cost saving type of method to use AI. Now AI has become so sophisticated where its ability to learn without being programmed, and you're seeing a lot of features using deep neural networks. We're seeing lots of progress as we covered earlier. So there are a lot of strategies right now that's covering artificial intelligence. I think it's really important to do some research on your own to see which companies that you like or that you're using today that you're touching AI and who are at the forefront of the AI. We look at companies in terms of the pure play leaders, companies that probably won't even exist without the applications of AI today. So those things are really exciting. And I think just have fun with it. I think, you know, we're very big in, I'm starting to really get into how AI is really impacting, disrupting the financial services sector with fraud detection and, you know, credit monitoring. So that's really interesting how insurance companies are just starting to digitize their world. That's really exciting for us. And that's, you know, that's robotic automation, AI, all captured in one in the insurance industry. So there are so many different growth opportunities out there. And I'm having a lot of fun researching the companies, looking at the technology, playing with drones. And I think that a lot of our readers and listeners could do the same. And investors could also go on to our website where we have many webinars with our strategic advisors and entrepreneurs and founders. You could sign up for our newsletters and read some of our white papers on autonomous cars. We did one recently on logistics automation, and we're currently working on e-commerce white paper. So you're going to find a lot of great information on our website, and also follow us on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, I think this concludes this episode, and in the show notes, we'll be sure to add a link to RoboGlobal's website. But again, I think this concludes this episode on robotics, artificial intelligence, innovation, and how the technology space is evolving the exchange traded fund marketplace. I want to thank our guest, Lisa Chai, for joining us, as well as all of our listeners out there for joining as well. But until next time, I'm your host, Jason Kapoor, and we'll be signing off. For disclosure purposes, Jason Kapoor is not long any ETFs discussed. Lisa Chai is long RoboGlobal Artificial Intelligence ETF, ticker THNQ, RoboGlobal Healthcare Technology and Innovation ETF, ticker HTEC, RoboGlobal Robotics and Automation Index ETF, ticker ROBO.